This is the third in our series on Tofer, Korea, and Mechatech. We spent the first one largely on issues of Tofer, although that overlapped somewhat with Korea. And last time we started on Korea. And just actually one note from Tofer, we had talked about medical stitches. And I noted the difficulty and the challenge with the position that Rosh Shlomo Zalman seems to take regarding butterfly stitches and the question of whether there's Tofer on human skin. So I actually went back to look at it again and found myself thoroughly confused, because the Nishmas Avram in Shin Mem has this back and forth with Rosh Shlomo Zalman, in which he brings the position of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, he brings the challenge somebody gave him, which I was wondering whether that was actually Rabbi Ribiat who had given him the challenge, because that's where we saw the problem, where Rabbi Ribiat quotes Rabbi Belsky is disagreeing. And then he says, I went back to Rosh Shlomo Zalman and I wrote to him about this, and I got it in writing from him, and here's his letter. And he reproduces the letter from Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and then even still it's very unclear as to what his position is in the end. If you take a look at the Nishmas Avram in Orach Chaim, the pages are page Taf Kuf Pei Aleph through Taf Kuf Pei He. Is the discussion about stitches and butterfly bandages and the like. It's fascinating, but I'm not really sure I understand what he did in the end. Okay, but we're on Korea now, so we're not repairing people. We're tearing them open instead. So we talked about, we introduced Korea last time. We defined the malacha as tearing to enable repair. That was the av malacha. We discussed whether enabling repair versus enabling stitching is what it's about. That was the machlokas between Tosfos and certain Rishonim on the one side and the Rambam on the other. The Rambam said that even if it's for any other non-destructive purpose, one is still chayav. We had the told of separating glued papers. And then we dealt with the Dirabbanans and the question of tearing that is mekalkel. And we gave two approaches regarding tearing that is mekalkel because of the case in the Tosefta, which says you're allowed to tear the hide, this piece of leather, off of a barrel. The question was, it seems to be mutter, why isn't it mekalkel as a derabanan? And our first answer is that it's talking about getting food out of the barrel, and Rashi says, as understood by the Ran, that you're allowed to be mekalkel litzorech. That's the heter. So you're getting the food out of the barrel, that counts. The second approach was that tearing with mekalkel is not even a derabanan, assuming you're not making a kli, where all you're tearing is a wrapper. And that was the Shemir Shabbos Kilcha. So we brought all sorts of different views within that. But the ultimate view is that the hide is like a nut, and and it's batel to the material that's inside, and therefore it doesn't count. Okay. The Bir Halacha suggests two remarkable limitations of Korea. And we started on this at the very end last time, and I ran through it, and I wanted to say it more clearly. You have to start with the Rambam. So if you look at the sheet, I brought you the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chaf Gimel, Halacha Vav. This is going to be relevant for a few different issues today. The Rambam writes, Ve'in Shovrenes HaChavis Ve'in Korinnes HaNiyar. What did I say?
Chavis.
Etah? What is it?
Chavis,
oh, chavis. Oh, okay, no, don't break the chavis either. Don't break pottery, and don't tear paper. Because it's like metakin kli. He's concerned about making materials usable as a kli. He doesn't mention korea. So why didn't he mention korea? Why didn't he mention tearing? He's talking about tearing paper. He mentioned it in the verb, right? In korinas haniyar. So why isn't that the concern? So various achronim suggest resolutions. The Prima Gadim just notes the problem, doesn't have a solution. The Minchas Chinuch in Mosach HaShabbos Chav Dalid, where he goes through each of the malachos, so he says in source Vez, Kvari Vesi kama pa'amim v'makom dechayiv shtayim v'haram b'meinu mevi vein laharich. He says, yeah, I've already talked about this, that sometimes you're chayiv twice, and the Rambam only mentions one of the malachos, don't worry about it, essentially. And the Minchas Chinuch's position seems to be that, in fact, the Rambam thinks you're also chayiv for Korea, he just didn't say so. He only mentioned Metakin Kli. On the other hand, Rishneir Zalman of Liadi, in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, offers you this very interesting position. He says the answer is there is no such thing as korea when you're dealing with paper, or for that matter, when you're dealing with a piece of hide. If you take a look at source Gimel, in Shovrenes Acheres and Korinas Haniyar Mutarim Betilzul Kedei Lishtamesh Bam Eze Tashmish Mneishu Kimitakin Kli. He brings the issue of metakin kli when you tear the paper, and in parentheses he explains, Avol mishum korea ein isur, ela kish korea umafrid gufim rabim shenis chabru. He says korea is only an issue if you're going to tear separate things that were joined, such as if you tear a garment that was woven out of many threads, but your paper is one entity. It's a single thing. And as far as he's concerned, there's no issue of koreya, and that's why you're allowed to tear the hide off of the barrel of wine. The Nishmas Adam notes, the Bir Halacha notes, that there's Yerushalmi in Shabbos which explicitly mentions liability for tearing a piece of hide if it's soft. So we don't understand what in the world he would do with that Yerushalmi. It doesn't seem to fit. We're going to talk more about this issue of tearing a single entity versus tearing multiple, but that's his solution to why it is that you're allowed to tear the hide off of the barrel. But the Bir Halacha offers two other solutions, which are the ones that I really wanted to make sure to note. First of all, he points you to Rashi on the Gemara in Shabbos Memches, source Dalet. Matirin beis hatzavar b'shabbat, avalo potchin. He says, you are allowed to untie the neck of a garment where it was tied closed. You're allowed to untie it on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to be poteach. To be poteach means to tear stitches where it was stitched closed, right? And we talked about this. I mentioned this in one of the previous shiurim, that the people who manufactured the shirts would have the neck part stitched closed, and then you would tear as many stitches as you wanted to fit your neck size. And that way, they didn't have to worry about manufacturing shirts for people of different sizes. One size doesn't fit all if it's nobody until you tear it, and now it's suitable. So Rashi on that Gemara in source, hey, Matirin beis hatzavar, on Matirin, on the knot case, says shedera hakov simla koshron, that it is normally knotted by people. I'm not sure why I brought that Rashi. I don't think that's the Rashi that I wanted. I think I wanted the next Rashi. But in any case, what Rashi says is that poteach bein hatzavar is mitakein rather than korea. I think I cut and pasted the wrong Rashi. I don't think that was the one I wanted, but I'm not going to hunt for it right now. But he says that poteach bein hatzavar is an issue of mitakein. Rashi doesn't say korea. So the Bir Halacha says korea is only where the tear doesn't fix anything in and of itself. He distinguishes between tearing that fixes and tearing that enables fixing. Take a look at source Vav. He says, "Bedaf memches." Bir Halacha is writing there. "Bedaf memches." That's the quote. "V'tamo kamosh kasavnu b'Bir Halacha lekamei." Although I can't find where he says this lekamei. "Desvira lei dechol davar shatikun minkar takef be'ez hakriya." Rashi's view is that as long as the tikkun, whatever repair you're doing, is visible instantly when you do the tearing, basakriya gufa lo shayach baze shem korea klal. That's not called tearing. Kevin da osa kli the kriya so, because you're making a kli when you do the tearing. Imkein hachanami the smaras hagemaru the mash vele mana be kriya so. Akein lo shayach baze shem korea klal. So he says that's the idea as well in our discussion regarding the hide. If the tear itself fixes something, makes the shirt wearable, makes the paper usable, then it's under the heading of mitake. That's the position of the Bir Halacha, explaining Rashi's view in that Gemara. So tearing is only called tearing if it is destructive and it enables fixing. But if the tearing itself fixes, that's not called korea. By the way, of course, it will be mechatech if you have a particular dimension in mind. That's another discussion which we have to get to regarding tearing paper. But that's the point that Bir Halacha sees in Rashi, and we paskin that way. We paskin like the Bir Halacha, with a very important caveat. One of those things that you really wish would have been in the original text, in Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa, in source Zion. Look at this quote. Ayin Shum Sifyud Gimel, this is the first line of source Zion, is the original quote from the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa, which says, Ayin Shum Bir Halacha, Bedasa Shulchan Aruch, Dekriyashi Atzmatikun Lo Chashiv Korea. Right, just like we said in the Bir Halacha. If the tearing fixes, it's not called tearing. The Miluim add one word. Deo Raisa. That matters. Sure, it's not Korea Deo Raisa, but nonetheless, it's also Midirabanan. Please don't try this at home. But that's one solution from the Bir Halacha for this issue of tearing the hide off of the barrel. The other solution that he brings works for the Rambam, because this solution in the Bir Halacha, this first solution that fits Rashi, is not going to work for the Rambam. Because the Rambam writes in source Ches, HaKorea Kedei Lit for Shtei Tfiros Amanas Lit, I'm sorry. Oh no, HaKorea Kedei Lit for Shtei Tfiros Amanas Lit for Shtei Tfiros. If you tear the shear of two stitches, with intent to tear to make two stitches, chayav. Hakareya b'chamaso al ameis shu chayav likroa alav. If someone tears in rage or in grief for somebody for whom there's a chiyuv kriya, chayav. V'paseach beis hatzavar b'shabbos, chayav. And if you open up the neck of the garment on Shabbos, you are chayav. So the Bir Halacha looks at this Rambam and he says, look at the cases that you just lumped together, right? You lumped together the issue of tearing to stitch, tearing in rage, all of those are koreya issues, with your third case, which is poseach beis hatzavar, opening up the neck of the garment. So that means that your position is that tearing is in fact what's involved in poseach beis hatzavar, in opening up the neck of the garment. So now you can't employ this answer anymore. You can't say that tearing, which inherently fixes, is not koreya. It's not true. So what am I going to do? So the Bir Halacha has a different answer for the Rambam. Take a look at source tests. Velule de mistafina. We mentioned this idea last week as an aside in dealing with the hide on the Chavis, because the Shemir Shabbos Kechasa invoked it, but now we see it in the source. He says, velule de mistafina. Were I not afraid? Whenever someone begins with that, you know he's not really afraid, but he feels like he should say so. No, I'm sure he is afraid. He says, "V'lo demistafina, hava amina davar chadash."
Half the time, that's what it means. Half the time, yeah.
Right. Hava amina davar chadash bazeh. It depends who's writing. So he says, if I weren't afraid, I would say something new. D'lo shayach shem korea amanas l'takein ki im kishe korea eza davar be'emtza. He says, korea amanas l'takein, this tearing that enables repair, is only if you tear in the middle of the garment. Not literally middle, but the point is the next part. Where you need to fix both sides. Where does he get this from? Kain shahayav a mishkan, just like in the mishkan, right? Our source case for Korea were the curtains that needed to be repaired. Sheyriyah shenavah badarna korin ba v'tofer nosa, like Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Dalet. Where you have a curtain and the moth eats a hole into the curtain, so now in order to repair it, you have to tear it apart and then restitch. So the tearing is for the sake of the repair of the entire curtain. Ah, what am I going to do then about tearing in rage? Right? How did he repair both sides of whatever it was that he tore? He says, "Ksharei b'chamaso demechayev a Rambam hatam mishum demeitiv bazel atzmo." He says the repair that you're doing when you tear something in rage is a repair for yourself. Shemeshakech chamaso, you calm yourself down. Achashverosh could have used some paper to tear. Havi kiilu metakein kol guf habeged. So it's as though you are repairing the entire beged. This seems very homiletic, you know, when you're willing to take that as the equivalent of tearing the entire beged.
The whole sukkah there feels homiletic.
But the point that he's trying to make, I think what he's getting at is the entire act of tearing has to be a positive act. And what makes it a positive act is either if everything about the curtain is going to be improved thereby, or if this is just such a great improvement overall that it doesn't matter, the curtain is irrelevant, or the paper, or whatever it was that I tore. Lachain, they're off their break. The jackhammer is back. Yeah.
It means that, or it just means that when it's bechamaso, or I want to tear. It's not like so great, but I want to tear the whole garment.
Right.
Or it has to be that the kriya is mitjaches for the entire thing. In my anger, right? I don't want to tear my sleeve. That doesn't have the effect.
And the
right?
whole garment has to be torn in order for me to calm down. Like, maybe.
Well, no, it's Ilhatil Ema, right?
That's
Whatever.
It's Shaki Hamasa.
Okay, but I'm saying you look at the different, you know.
I think it's easier just to pin this on the left chain and switch with Lufa.
I got the pun, by the way. Yeah, sorry.
To put this on the. I don't want to use any bad words. Okay, it's just easier to say this Malachshin Tzricha L'Gufa, the debate between Rashi and the Rambam here, instead of coming up
with this whole idea.
And the Rambam just thinks that it's discussion about Mekalkel, right?
Right.
Mekalkel with a purpose, that's Malachshin Tzricha L'Gufa, the Rambam thinks it's a problem, and Rashi doesn't.
But how would that solve the problem of Rashi framing this as Metakin and the Rambam framing it as Korea?
The Rambam will say that it's Malachshin Tzricha L'Gufa of Korea.
And therefore I count it as Korea.
Korea. And the Rashi will say, no, Moshe's Kutu is not a problem. In certain cases, you're also Matakin Kli, and then it becomes Michael Bash.
That's interesting. I have to admit, I haven't seen anybody make that suggestion. It's an interesting idea.
It sounds like some of this stuff, I don't know,
it's an interesting idea.
First Rambam, so he says it's Matakin Kli. So that would be like, if you're ripping the paper, like, ripping open a cereal box. You were talking clearly.
So we will not discuss applications.
No, no, I don't mean an application. I just want to give an example.
But yes,
if I just take a piece
or,
of paper,
or with the paper itself, will become a clay through this.
So if I just take this sheet and start ripping it up, that wouldn't be a talking
correct.
Clay.
Correct.
However, according to the Bir Halacha, if I rip this up out of rage, I'm talking to myself.
Correct.
So in that case.
But it's not Mitake, it's Korea.
Korea, I mean.
Yeah. But yes.
Yeah, because I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, it is Korea, yeah. Which is Amanas Latakein in the
right.
sense
yeah.
that. Correct. That's right.
He didn't know about the Korea already.
So, no, that's also. It's,
well,
he fulfilled his Chiyuv. He had a Chiyuv. That's good
that's
enough.
Also
that's
your
Tikkun. Yes.
Okay.
That's his Tikkun. Lakach, he continues, Lakach ben Yonenu. So, in our case of the paper, Shu Korea is a Chatichat Niyar Midaf Shalit. You just tear a strip of paper off of a whole page. Kidelish Tamesh Bo is a Devarma, because you have some use for the strip of paper. You're not doing anything to improve the paper from which you tore this. Vashur de Makal Kalo, you could even be ruining it. Gamke. Ainze Bechwal Korea Manasatakin. So, that also won't count as Korea in order to fix it. That's the position. That the Bir Halacha attributes to the Rambam, we don't paskin this way. Meaning, I've seen this idea that it's only Korea if you tear
both doors are open.
Right, just if you close it entirely, you won't be able to get in. Okay,
here, that last line would allow you to rip the toilet paper, right?
That last line would allow you to rip the toilet paper. Why?
Because he's saying if you just rip off something.
Oh, you mean no? Because you still can be mechatech.
Oh, so
yeah, but you'll still have a machatech problem potentially because you're cutting it to a dimension you want. That's part of the discussion that we have to have when we get to applications of machatech.
Well,
so,
if you do it machinery, like where you don't even sort of look at it.
Well, that, again, when we get to that, we'll get to that.
Right.
But in terms of this note, in terms of this note from the Bir Halacha, well, this is not practice. Okay. That brings us to mechatech. So it's very funny that we enmesh together Korea and mechatech because we think of them that way. Korea fundamentally is tearing something. Mechatech is cutting something to a dimension or shape you want. However, they come from entirely different places in the Mishkan, which affects their application. Korea was making the curtains or fixing the curtains, right? Mechatech is something completely different. It stems from the Malachos of Hides. You know what? If you want to just email Pesach and just let him know that we're going that way, we have no problem. Thank you. It comes from the Malachos of the Hides. When you took the animal hide and you wanted to make it the shape that you wanted to hang in making the Mishkan, you cut the hide to a particular size and possibly a particular shape. That's what you're dealing with Mechatech, very different from the origin of Korea. Now, this is as good a point as I'm going to find to raise an issue which everyone is going to laugh, but you have to mention it, because. And that's the point made by the Maharam Shik. Look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Chavtes Amud Beis. This is really an odd place to start Mechatech. Yud, source Yud. The Gemara is dealing with not blowing shofar on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Mina ani mili." How do you know that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos? Amar Rabbi Levi bar Lachma, Amar Rabbi Chan Rechanina, Kasev Echad Omer Shabbaton Zichron Truah. Right? You're familiar with this. One pasuk says it's Shabbaton to remember or the memorial of Truah. Kasev Echad Omer Yom Truah Yelachem. So how can you have these two different pasuk and one of them saying Zichron Truah, one saying Yom Truah? Lo kasha. Can be Yom Tov Shchalias b'Shabbos. Can Yom Tov Shchalias b'Chol. If Yom Tov b'Shabbos, if Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, then you don't blow shofar, it's just Zichron Truah. To which Rava asks, if it's really a Deoraisa, then how do they blow shofar in the Mikdash on Shabbos? Right? Ain't Shvus b'Mikdash, but you have Deoraisas, other than when the Torah explicitly tells you for the Avoda to do a Deoraisa, Shchita, you know, Karban, that kind of thing. So the point here, and what the Maharam Shik picks up on here, the Maharam Shik is his commentary on Minyan HaMitzvos in Mitzvah Tav Vav. Fortunately, it was cited in the Shevet HaLevi, so I didn't have to worry about retyping anything. But he says, what would have been the Issur D'oraisa of blowing shofar on Shabbos? If you really believe that this idea is correct, that you need a pasuk, right? You have a pasuk saying Shabbaton Zichron Truah that tells me that you really shouldn't blow shofar on Shabbos. What's your malacha d'oraisa in blowing shofar on Shabbos? So, take a look at Sur Yud Aleph, where Wozner quotes this. He says, "Kine kimedumani shlunistapek adam." Well, actually, no. Sorry, I have to say it outside first because he's already jumping into the middle of it. The position of the Maharam Shik is that the problem of blowing shofar on Shabbos is mechatech. because you cut the sounds to the dimension that you want. So the Rav Wasner says, and when Rav Wasner says this, you know that you hit your end. He says, "Kimadumani shlonistapek adam me'olam sheyia shayach malachas machadech da'oraisa bechitoch kol." He says, "I cannot believe that anybody ever thought this. No one ever thought that cutting sound is going to be machatech. O chiduch mayim lefi amida, or for that matter, if you have water and you want to say, I only want a certain volume of water, right? I'm getting the water into my pitcher, and this is only the amount of water that I want, or I have water in a tub, and I'm using a certain amount." He says, "Davka bechiduch or o eitzim davar mamashi shayach machatech." He says, "Machatech is relevant for hide. Machatech is relevant for wood, which we have to discuss. Machatech is relevant for something of substance." Liquids have substance, but you know what he meant. And he says, "See what I'm going to write in the Shevet Alevi elsewhere." Ella, diraisi lagon maram shik bechidusha mitzvahs mitzvah tavav kasa liyashiv shiyas hagemara, the gemara that we just read. I saw the maram shik said it. The yesh lomar. I'm jumping to the end of the second paragraph in Yud Aleph. The yesh lomar. The iser tara yesh mishum malachas mechadech came and sheish shir litkia trua mechadech hakol levimi daso. Can you imagine no chazanim anymore? We'll succeed in eliminating the chazanim or the really good ones.
How would the maram shik translate roim as hakolos?
What do you mean?
In other words, maybe he feels that when you actually...
They were, Rahim is Hakolos.
There is a mamashi. It's not like we think sound is...
Jerry, you're Malamed Zchus. The Va'ani Tama, says the Shevet Alevi, the last part of Yudala. Va'ani Tama im Amra Hagom. He says, I'd be shocked if the Mamshik actually said this. De me'ayin haraglayin ledover l'chayev bazeb b'kazem in HaTorah. This has nothing to do with cutting a hide. He says it doesn't apply here, it doesn't apply to liquids. No, there is no mechatech. So I couldn't put that anywhere else in the shear, so I just threw it in here. Okay. Definition of the malacha is cutting something to a particular dimension or a particular plan. The Aruch HaShavas has a nice comment in Ha'ara Nun Aleph on this malacha, where he says, Mechadech is different, it's Perek Yud Aleph, Ha'ara Nun Aleph, he says, Mechadech is different from Korea in two ways. Number one, if you do it carelessly, it's not Mechadech De'oraisa. And even if you end up with a particular dimension that you want, it's still not mechatech de'oraisa. And number two, when you're dealing with mechatech, your concern is the result, not the act. Korea is about the act. Mechatech is about the result. So let's go through them. The first one is the major one here. That it's about your intent. If you do it carelessly, it's not mechatech de'oraisa. Menchas Chinuch mentions this already in source Yud Beis. On the malacha of mechatech, haklal the malacha zu. Actually, he's not on mechatech; he's on a different malacha. But he says haklal the malacha zu eino rak b'miskaven lemida ubelo kavan. No, he's on mechatech. Sorry, I was thinking something else. But he says the principle is that mechatech is only if you intend that mida ubelo kavana lo havi malacha klal. And if you don't have any kavana, it's not the malacha at all. There is no issue of sigresha. What if it's guaranteed to have that result? It's not the malacha at all. Now the truth is, he sounds like it's not even a derabanan, but we'll see later that it in fact is.
I understand that. It's not a psik. Why is it not a psik ratio?
He said psik ratio isn't relevant because if you don't intend to have this result, it's not mechatech. By definition of mechatech, it includes your frame of mind. Mechatech includes I intended to cut to this particular size, and if I end up with the size but not by intent, it's not mechatech.
Are you allowed to use it?
What do you mean to use it? That's the issue of what? What do you mean? No, somebody did this.
Because that might show that you...
No. I didn't do malacha.
It's not malacha.
In other words, we're going to see some practical cases momentarily. I had a piece of wood in front of me, right? And I was playing with it. And it happens to be that I ended up with a toothpick. And then I have something stuck in my teeth, so I keep.
No,
I didn't do anything.
That's say that business.
So, merci, Maris, I and all these other things have to be left out of the discussion. Right now, the question is, did I do the malacha?
Okay.
So two examples of this in the Gemara. One is Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. This is the piece of wood. Amar of Menashe, Hayman Desalis Silsi, which I added in brackets for you, Chote Chetzim Dakim. A person cuts small pieces of wood. Chayav Mishum Tocheis, that's grinding. Amar of Ashi, Ikapit Amishchasa. Rav Ashi says, if I care about the dimension, Chayav Mishum Mechatech. So that will be Mechatech, because I intended the dimension. If I didn't have the intention, then there is no issue. That's one example. The other example is the Gemara in Beitza, Lamed Beis Amud Beis. It's actually a Mishnah and then a Gemara. But first, I brought you the Rambam in Yudalid. I'm not sure. Oh, I know. Just to show you the emphasis on intent. Take a look at Yudalid. Hamachadech min ha'or k'dei lasas k'mei achayev. Don't make amulets on Shabbos. Vushi iskavin l'midas arkol midas rochbo. Assuming your intention is those dimensions. V'yachtoch pekavana. And you intend to cut like that. Shehi malacha. That's the malacha. Aval machadech derech hefsed. But if you cut in a manner that's destructive, o below kavana l'midaso, or without intent for that dimension, ela k'mei I'm going to come back to that clause because that's not a clear clause. Hareza Potter. Now, the Rambam writes Potter, right? Indicating the issue is only the Deoraisa, but the Derabanan will still apply. Unlike the way it sounded from the Minchas Chinuch. The other one is this Mishnah in Gemara in Beitza, in Source Tesvav. Mishnah says, Ein Shovrin es Hacheres. You're not allowed to break pottery. Vein Chotchin Haniyar. Notice that we quoted this before with the word Korin. That was the Rambam's word. But the Mishnah's word is Chotchin. You're not allowed to be Chotech, paper, in order to roast with it. The Gemara says, My time, what's your issue? Mishum de kametakein mana. Because the concern is that you are repairing a kli. Now, what are you doing with this paper? What are we talking about? Not repairing or preparing, whatever it is, but what are you doing with this paper? That you're cutting the paper in order to roast fish. So Rashi on the Gemara, as well as various Mefarshim on the Mishnah, say that this is a layer below the fish to shield it from the fire or from the hot grill or whatever it is that it's sitting on. You don't want it to get burnt or to stick. So you use paper below it, you put some kind of liquid on it, some have oil on it, some have water on it, and that's the standard read of this. There is a method of cooking fish wrapped in paper, which is very old, and it could be that. And then I found, I didn't bring it on the sheet, I said not to, but I found an article in a British newspaper that there's actually a centuries-old practice, at least centuries-old practice, of using strips of paper as fuel when cooking fish. And you would actually stick them in one by one into the fire and you know, get very bored. But eventually your fish will cook. I don't know if that's what's going on. Like I said, the Mefarshim don't seem to assume that. They seem to assume that it's being used to support the fish as a shield for it. So notice that we did not say Mechatech. We also didn't say Korea. That was our discussion under Korea. But we also didn't say Mechatech. So that's the way it is right now. Take a look at the Rambam in Source Tezayin, Vein Shovrin es Hacheres Vein Korin es Haniyar. We saw this before, right? Vimeshikum Mitakin Kli. He also doesn't mention it. Why not? And the answer seems to be, and this is what the Mefarshim say, that it's because you don't care about the dimensions. Since I don't care about the dimensions, therefore it's not Mechatech. This is just another illustration of the idea that Mechatech is where you intend the particular dimensions for the item. Clarification now of that phrase that the Rambam used before, where he said, Ela kimis asek in Source Yud Zayin, right? Kimis asek o kimis asek hareza patur. So, when the Rambam mentions mis asek normally means, I am engaged in one activity, and I end up doing this one as part of it, but it wasn't my intention, bichlal. That can't be what the Rambam means here. Because here, even if I intend to cut, I just don't intend the dimensions, I'm still potter. Right? So Rav Shmuel Tal in his article, Mechatech Bekele, makes this point in Source Yuches. Ba'asha Rambam hivgim, I like that word, as mikra ha'ptur b'chigon shu misaseik. He says, even the Rambam used misaseik as his example of somebody who is cutting without intent for the dimensions. Ein ha'mikra zeh yotzei midei ptur zeh. He says, nonetheless, he likes to play with words, apparently. Ein ha-mikra hazeh yotzei midei p'tur zeh, right? Ein mikra yotzei midei p'shuto. He says, this case does not escape, this case meaning the person who does not have intention for dimensions, but does have intent to cut, that also is part of the p'tur. Dimis aseik zeh ein mashmauto davka b'chgon dashu lo chashav al shum davar, o shlo chashav al shum toelet. He says, when we say misaseik here, it doesn't mean the person who didn't intend dimensions or benefit. Dim kein lo hayam mutzdak. My proof is that you include among your list in your list of p'turim both misasek and the person who doesn't intend dimensions. The fact that you also mention below kavana l'midah so tells me that really misasek meant you don't intend for the particular dimension. That's really what we're after here. Okay. What if you don't intend the size? So the Rambam said, you're still chayav midirabanan. Why should I be chayav midirabanan? If we just said, right, from the Minchas Chinuch, it's not the malacha at all. And that's what it sounds like. Where does the chayav dirabanan come in? So the Orach HaShabbos has a very interesting suggestion. The Orach HaShabbos writes in Yutes, it's the Orach HaShabbos footnote that I quoted before. Yesh lomar demayri shayidechi tucho kemesachek notzra chaticha b'midah shayisach chashuva ba'olam. You're not trying to get that dimension, but the product you ended up with is a product which has a standard measure that's useful for people. Could go on midas kameya, just like everybody with amulets wants amulets of this size. I don't know. Alternatively, you could say, or maybe when the Rambam says, maybe that's under Korea. That's his alternative suggestion. Either way, you accidentally create the mida that people generally consider desirable, that's going to be Mechatech Derabanan, or it's Korea. I was really confused by Rabbi Ribiad on this in Source Chaf. Look at what he says. Mechatech is only transgressed when the measured cutting is intentional and calculated. Therefore, a correctly measured cut or a straight, evenly clipped border that somehow occurred while one was cutting or tearing, parentheses where permissible, in an indiscriminate manner, is not within the general premise of mechatech or even remotely related to the malacha. He sounds like is nothing at all, and his footnote on this gives you the Rambam and the Mishnah Berurah, both of which just say pater. Right. So I don't understand what he's doing. I don't really get it. Unless when he says in parentheses where permissible, he's saying and therefore there's no Korea. He's taking that view, like the Orach HaShabbos, that the Dirabanan would have been Korea. You follow? Maybe that's it. Okay. But that's all within the that's all I'm just writing in that a possibility here. That's all within this issue of intent. So in order for it to be mechatech, certainly del reisa, you need to intend this dimension. The other point is that we care about the result in mechatech, not about the act. In Korea, the malacha is the act of tearing. Right? Here is the result of something that fits the dimension. I stress this because it matters for the shear. When it comes to Korea, if you tear two stitches, you did a shear of tearing, because I care about the act, regardless of the result. However, if you're dealing with mechatech, then the malacha is, in the item which is cut up, the shear is, did I end up with a useful shape, a useful size, whatever it is. There is no amount that triggers liability. There's also a third possible element to mechatech that Shmuel Tal notes. He argues that mechatech is only relevant where one side undergoes meaningful change. At least one side undergoes meaningful change. I think this may really fit into what we said in number one about the intent issues, but take a look at Source Chaf Aleph. Vod nir pashut ubarur. She'im adam oseh chituch beguf davar ba'ofen she'shnei tzidei chatach mamshichim leitkayem kfi shayu kodem l'chein. If both sides of the cut continue, they persist as they were before. All I did was separate two items, separate two parts of the same item, but neither of them is now functionally better than it was beforehand. Ein baze shum dimyon machatech ve ein baze tzad isur. That's not machatech. There's no isur. The inyan malachas machatech hu shinui midat hadavar v'ha'amadaso al orach v'rochav mesuyam ba'ofen she'adim l'shimush mesuyam. He says the definition of machatech is that you've changed the item such that it's now useful for a particular purpose. It changes the dimensions of whatever it was that was cut. Wrote, like when you cut hides, you remove the elements that are too that are excess, leaving behind that which you actually need. And that's why the Rambam emphasizes intent for a particular set of dimensions. I brought you that Rambam again in Chaf Beis. We saw it before, but I always figure if I'm sending out digital things anyway, I can just reproduce the source rather than have you scroll up. So the Rambam's point again is you want Midas Orach V'Rochav, says Rav Shmuel Tal, that that's what makes this a meaningful change. In the event that you cut along particular lines, but there's no change to the functionality of either side, then you don't care. Okay. Four notes, on this issue of machatech. Before we get to the materials, which are a very interesting discussion, but within this, how precise do I have to be in order to be considered cutting it to a particular dimension? Right? Let's say the case that we're going to get to eventually when we get to applications is toilet paper, right? So let's say it's useful to have a piece that's this long, not a piece that's this long, and not a piece that's this long. But I don't care if it's within a couple of inches either way. So is that mechatech? So the simple answer, I think, has to be what Rav Shmuel Tal suggests in Chav Gimel. L'chol davar sherotzim l'dayek b'midaso, yesh shiur shel idiyuk hamatim lo so davar. It's sort of thing that I would imagine Rav Asher Weiss writing as well. For each particular function, there is a normal range of precision. For certain purposes, you have to be very precise. For certain purposes, it's enough to be sort of in the range. And for each type of item in use, that will be our definition of machatech. If you are less precise than people normally are for this type of item, then it's not machatech. If you are as precise as people normally are for this type of item, then it is machatech. Right? I mean, that's sensible, I think. I think that's a reasonable way to read it. So, we had Sulis Silsi, where you cut the pieces of wood finely, right? And you're making your toothpick or whatever it is, it's only machatech if you are as precise as people normally are. That would be, I think, that's one note just in terms of machatech.
Yeah. I have a question I asked before, maybe now's the time. If you do it like in a shimmy or kilach yad, and you don't know how much, this is a toilet paper example.
Yeah.
And you don't know
how much you're going to end up with.
Right.
So then you can argue that's not machatech.
Right.
You may have korea issues, but it's not machatech. Yeah. Again, we're going to have to discuss that when I do this. For anyone who didn't notice it in the email that I sent out, I'm planning on recording an applications shiur because we really have to get started on our next malacha at this point. We won't finish it before Pesach. So I'm going to record a separate shiur.
It's going to be very short.
Yeah. Either kosher matir will be very short because we won't understand a thing. We'll just say there's such a thing as a knot and there's such a thing as a loop, and we'll talk about them as though we knew what they were. Or we're going to spend time understanding what they are, in which case we need all the time we can get. Okay. But I leave that to Rabbi Ziering, who has the joy. Okay. The second note regarding mechatech. Note number one is precision is determined by the functionality of the particular item, the way people normally do that item. Number two, the Aruch HaShabbos says, and I think it's clearly supported by others, that it isn't just cutting to a dimension, but it's also cutting to a particular shape. Even though the Rambam used the language of Orech and Rochav, nonetheless, I believe that it is about the shape as well. The Rambam, it's true, only said size in a Chanami. And the truth is the Mishnah Brura as well, in Chav Dalet. I bring the Mishnah Brura. Hamachatech or called the Rashi Machatech umakpid al midaso. You cut leather or any other thing for which people care about the dimensions. Bein eitz matechet or afil notes of shalom feathers whatever. Kevan shemakpid al midas or kol barochbo. Bless you. Since you care about the dimensions of a chodich v'kavana and you cut intentionally, chayav. That's machatech. However, it's not really about length and width. It's about the item being completed in the way that you want it to be complete. whatever that means.
Is it mishanim atotzagam?
What do you mean?
I want to cut it like in a special shape.
Yeah.
But at the end, I didn't succeed.
Well, if you didn't succeed, you did a bad job.
Yeah.
As lo asit al-chatech. Yeah. That's the point of what I said before. Shezeh lo ala maaseh, ela totzah. Nachon. This shouldn't be surprising. Shape is really a function of size. In other words, I wanted it to be a circle, right? So I wanted it to be a circle, but I wanted it to be this circle. So I wanted it to be this long and this wide. A circle is like the worst example I could bring for length and width. Very funny. All right, you know what I meant.
Star.
The a trapezoid, fine. But take a look at Rashi and Ayin Daled Amud Beis. Take the source Chavei. The Gemara's example, right? Hatolish is a kanaf va'kotzmo va'morto chayav shalosh chataos. Talking about processing the wing of a bird. So one of the things that you do is you are kotem. To be kotem is to cut. So kotem chayav mishum mechateich. That is called mechateich, says the Gemara there in source Chafei. So on that, Rashi says, if you take a look at source Chavav, Hatolishas hakanaf, notzagdola min hakanamikanapahov. Tolish is where you pluck the feathers out of the wing. Vehakotmo. And then after you pluck it, lachashatolsho, chotech rosho shudak, you cut off the end of it, which is thin. Veroilanicho, the karvakasas, and you can put the feather into a pillow. And your liability is Mechatech to kapit lachtoch ad makom shehu shorotwi. Because you're careful to cut it to the point where it will be suitable to fit within the pillow. So the point here is, and this is the point that Rabbi Ribiat makes in discussing this, it's footnote 26 in Mechatech for him, is that you're not really cutting it to a specific measure here. You're cutting it to a maximum. In other words, the feather, if it's too long, isn't going to be good for your pillow. Right? So therefore, I cut it to be less than that, as Rashi said, ad makom shehu ra'ui.
Still a size.
But it's still a size.
I was pinpointing the feather. The feather gets too like hard in the bottom of the feather. Only the top part is soft and you want to fill it.
I'm not sure that that's what he means. I don't think that's what he means. I hear what you're saying. I thought that it wasn't about that. I thought that it was you're saying makom shehu ra'ui would be the thinness of it. Maybe. I hear you. So maybe that's not the best proof. Okay. But it's still supported by the following Gemara. This one is more clear cut, so to speak. Anyway, the Chav Zayin, they don't stop. Hamigarer Rashi Klunsaot b'Shabbat Chayav Mishum Mechateich. If you shave the ends of poles on Shabbos, you're chayav for mechateich, sharpening the end of a pole. That's not about a particular length. What it's about instead is that you want it to be sharp, as Rashi notes there, as the Rambam does as well. So that's another proof that I don't care about the size as much as I care about the shape. That's still mechateich. Question then. There's a Gemara here in Source Chaf Ches regarding animal food, and then it moves on from there. Source Chaf Ches. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Ochle Behema, Ein by Mishum Tikun Kli. Animal food is not subject to repair. We're going to talk about that later when we talk about mechateich and food. But Eisve Rav Gana l'Rav Yehuda. Rav Gana challenges Rav Yehuda. We learned Metalflin Atzei B'Samim La'Riach Bahenu La'Nifah L'Chole. You are allowed to move wood that is for smell, that is meant for smell. You can smell it. You can wave it around for a chole. They will feel better, I guess, from it. Umololo Ume Riach Bo. You can crush it between your fingers and smell it. Velo Yekatmenu La'Riach Bo. Don't cut it in order to smell it. Vim Katmo Patura V'Alasur. But if you did cut it for smelling, That's a derabanan. But then we say lachtzotz boshinav lo yikatzmenu. If you cut it in order to pick your teeth, you shouldn't do that. Vim katzmo chayav chatas. And if you do, you're chayav for a chatas. So I would have assumed, what's your chayav chatas if you cut it for picking your teeth? I would have thought that's mechateich, right? That's what I would have expected. However, the language here in the discussion is more of a language of tikkun kli, like we started with ochle behema ein bo mishum tikkun kli. So Shmuel Tal makes the argument here that we specifically, that it actually means mechateich. He argues that it actually does mean mechateich. take a look at source Chavtes. He says, "Lefi mashi yisbar lekaman shemalach zmak v'padish chala rakasher lo chala malacha acheres." Right, the makish v'padish discussion. Mak v'padish is the fallback where no other malacha is involved. Yesh makom lahavin shetikun kli eino amur liyos bechreach bechlam malachas mak v'padish. The tikkun kli does not have to mean makib apatish. Vim tikkun akli naseh ba'ofen shematim legidrei malacha kol shehi. If you fix a kli, so to speak, you prepare a kli in a way that fits some other malacha, hunechshav bechlal malacha hi, it's part of that malacha, in which case here it actually does mean mechadech, even though it uses those words. Yeah. Okay. So that's his position. One other gemara, though, that you have to analyze is Shabbos Kuf Chav Hei Amud Beis. Talks about fear lest people cut a vine to hold a pail. You know, I'm going to say it outside because I want to make sure to get through materials today. But the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Hei talks about cutting a vine to hold a pail. We are afraid that someone is going to do that on Shabbos. And Rashi there says that that would make a kli, which is makib apatish. And the Rambam brings this in Perachav Gimel and Hilchos Shabbos with rabbinic Yisurim that are from Makiv HaPatish. Why wouldn't cutting the vine to hold the pail in the well be an issue of Mechatech? So the Aruch Liner says it's not Mechatech because you did it by hand. Mechatech, where it's normally done with a kli, only applies when you do it with a kli. And that's the Bir Halacha's point, which I wanted to show you, is in source Lamed Gimel. The Bir Halacha says v'ulai. It's the end of the third line in the Bir Halacha. V'ulai the kaven demayri bekotem biyad. Since you are doing this by hand, k'moshe kasanu mishabrus ikan yuzayin, afilu mishum machadech les bazed distam machadech hu bekli. He says machadech assumes you are using a tool, and then he gives you a rush to support that idea that it's specifically where you're doing it with a tool. Okay.
So if you tear the paper to a side,
exactly. Because
yeah, so tearing it by hand, now that would be the question.
Yeah.
So the end of what we're going to end up saying with this Bir Halacha, which I'll stress now, is that it depends on the type of tearing that you're dealing with, the type of cutting you're dealing with. If the cutting is normally done with a kli, then doing it without a kli is not machatech. But if the type of cutting is normally done by hand, then doing it by hand counts as machatech.
That makes sense, because the whole concept is precision.
Yes, right. So it's whatever is the normal precision, correct.
Right, so the perforated extra toilet paper, it's normally done by hand, you get the precise sheet.
Correct. So that's really the way to look at this. So what we're saying now is mechatech is cutting to a particular size or shape. We said that intent matters greatly. We said you have to. We said that if you normally would use a tool, then using a tool is what matters. Rav Tal has this other note that he makes without citing any sources to support it. But it is logical, and that is that cutting off parts to avoid wasting the rest is not mechatech. This is very important when we deal with our applications. Lamed Dalet, he says, "Amnam nira shekasher chituchu rak hechetimtza lahashir es hamichlol kafi shehu," where what you're trying to do is just to leave the whole as it was. Right, that's your goal, is to leave the whole entity that from which you cut it as it was, because you don't want it to be ruined with the rest. Kadei shelo yipasei b'malach hatashmish ha-mesuyam shirotel yishtamesh b'chlek katan shumafir mimenu, ein ze chituch b'chavana l'midaso. That's not called mechatech. In other words, I have, I will use the toilet paper case once again. If I have this and I cut off a small part, not because that's all I need, I mean, that is all I need, but not because I want that dimension. It's just that I figure, like, the rest of this doesn't have to get pulled along with it.
Right.
Right? That's not called mechatech.
Well, still the part that you're cutting is the part that you want.
Right. However, it's not a function of that. It's not a function of, I cut off this part because this is what I want. It's, I cut it off because I didn't need the rest. It's not, this is functional to me in this way. As far as I'm concerned, if it was twice the size, it would also be usable. I just don't want to waste the other part. There's no utility gained by cutting it to this dimension. That's the idea. You follow? Let me give another example. I have a piece of paper, okay? I want to make a little note for myself. I have an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, right? Whatever they call it in Canada. Where I come from, it's 8.5 by 11. So I have an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. I want to make a little note, right? So what do I do? I tear right. I tear off the I tear off a corner of the page and I write my note for myself. Why didn't I write the note on the full piece of paper? The full piece of paper is just as useful. Right? The only reason I didn't do it is because there's no reason to waste the entire sheet of paper. I can use the rest of the paper for something else.
Because
so let me leave out the toilet paper for now. This may not be the best example.
You could use that would be okay for you. Whatever way.
No, but it's because I don't want to waste the rest. I could have just as easily done it on a full sheet. It isn't more useful to me if it's a small piece of paper. Not needing more. Not needing more is not the same thing.
Cutting to a particular with the intent to cut something to a particular dimension or size. I don't get it.
The point is that if I'm cutting it to that size, not because that size is useful to me, but
it is
because
useful to you. You also have a derivative benefit that you're saving something
no,
else.
No, but the larger thing was just as useful as the smaller thing. Or put it differently, if I didn't have the means of tearing this, I would write it on the whole sheet and it wouldn't make a difference to me. Or if I lived in a world in which I had unlimited paper supply, I could use the full page and it wouldn't have made a difference. That's the idea.
What if in that case, let's say you tore off the corner.
Yeah.
And now you want to square it off with that other piece.
Why?
Wouldn't? Because you think it's more useful
that that's machatech then.
That would be
machatech.
Even though you want to leave something behind?
Well, no, because I want that to be that shape. In other words, what I'm leaving behind, I believe to be more useful now that I cut it in this way.
Maybe, or that would be makapadesh when you're just making.
Yes.
That's right. The shaving down case, right? Where
right.
The shaving down.
The smoothing of the edges, which
right.
We'll talk about in
you have
the applications.
Like a 40-inch by 40-inch piece of cardboard poster, whatever it's called. So then, you're tearing off the little bit in that case because.
Yeah.
Not because you don't want to save the rest, but the whole thing isn't useful then.
Correct. No, and that's
so
different. That's machatech.
Yeah, that'd be machatech. Yeah.
Okay. Issues of materials. Because we said that korei and machatech come from different places, one being from the curtain in the Mishkan, the other from the stitching, and the other one being from the hide, that affects the question of which materials are subject to which one. Tofer, when we discussed tofer, stitching, we said that tofer only applies to materials which are subject to korea. Right? That was a basic principle. Tofer only applies to materials that are subject to korea. That was the biralacha on the palm leaves that were made into a basket, the chosolos. So the Avnei Nezer goes the other way. The Avnei Nezer in Archaim Kuf Peivav seems to say that that for korea, you're only chayav if it's something that you normally would restitch. That's the idea. If it's something that you normally do not restitch, it's not korea. So then the question is, why are you chayav for korea al hames? Right? A person is korea al hames, there are certain kriyos for which you're not supposed to restitch it. Nonetheless, it's a material that's normally restitched, even if this particular implementation of it is not. The point is that it has to be a material that is normally restitched, not that this particular tear is actually going to be restitched.
Or it's not.
Yeah. Fine. So one application of this is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's remarkable kula, which we mentioned before. Right? We had the Tosefta that said you're allowed to tear the hide off of the barrel, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav said that it's because kriya only applies if you separate two joined materials. Right? With a why? Because it has to match the curtain in the Mishkan. The curtain in the Mishkan is a material made from woven fibers. So that's an example. The Bi'ur HaLacha says, I'm sorry, that's just not true. The Bi'ur HaLacha writes, and I brought it for you in Lamed Vav, after bringing you the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which we already saw before. The Bi'ur HaLacha writes, he doesn't even mention him by name. Umasher Ratza Echad Ben Ha'achronim. Lahotzi Mizad, the Loshayach Kriya Kiyim Bedavar and Itfar Ne'er Rag. Right? She says, that make me goofim Rabim. He says, this Chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that Kriya is only relevant for something that is made, but is put together from multiple parts. Kain Shahaya Birios, just like the woven Urios, that not something made from hide and so on. He says, Zeino, it ain't so. De Mavur Birushami Behedya, De Ba'or Shayach Gan
gain kriya. The Shulchan Yerushalmi says it. It's in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis that you have it for hides, for soft hides as well. And the Nishmas Adam also pointed out this Yerushalmi, and therefore he went on to provide his own chiddush, as we've already discussed, to explain the Tosefta, the cutting that enables tikkun versus the cutting that is tikkun. The Orach HaShabbos also says, I don't even understand what the svara is regarding curtains in Lamed Zayin. Ubalav hachi, even without that, lachorat sarich iyun, da gam kasher korea yuria ein zo afrada bein hachutim. He says, when you tear a curtain, you're not separating two threads that had been together. You tear the threads. Kriyas etzem hachutim. You tear the threads, which is each one an individual entity. He says further, the threads, once they're woven into something, are part of a single unit, just like the hide is a single unit. So tearing your fabric is tearing a single unit. And yet you're chayev. So he also doesn't like this idea of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. We tend to assume that we don't pass like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav on this. Second application, though, for Korea is the issue of hard materials versus soft materials. The Minchas Chinuch and the Mosach HaShabbos Chaf Dalid in Lamed Hay, in Lamed Ches, I should say, says, V'zeh Poshet lo nikrach tofer o Korea rak bedvarim harakim. Tofer and Korea only apply to soft things. Or hide, the darkon litzfor, which people normally will stitch. Avomashe unim osim shetofrin kol, shetofrin klecheresh shvurim. Right? They stitch together pottery that's been broken. I don't know how you do that, but he says they do. Kimo porcelain. You can stitch together porcelain. Uchadomet. Lo shayach tofer rak. Oh, yeah, you should Google it. Someone does it. Lo shayach tofer rak. Osek kli o shover. I don't know. Avot firo kri lo shayach klal. You mishkan ha yiriyah suchadome vizep poshut. He says that is obvious. It's only for soft things that people normally stitch. And Rabbi Riviat points out that you can use that on Lamed Tes to explain the business of ein shovrinis hacheres being metakein kli, because it's not something people stitch, and also tearing paper. You don't stitch together paper. I have done so. But nonetheless, he says people don't stitch together paper. Then again, Rabbi Rivia, I thought guys in yeshiva don't know how to stitch. So there.
Well,
so
stapling.
That was where I stitched paper.
We said stapling.
Yeah, we do
stitching.
Use karate chops.
Great.
Didn't we say using a staple is like stitching?
Yes.
So you staple paper.
Yeah. But that's the idea. Tofer in general only applies to soft materials, to materials that you would normally stitch. Now, I was bothered by this Mishnah Brura, who says this. The Mishnah Brura brings this. Because in the Bir Halacha, he says, there is tofer when you glue pieces of wood together. So would he say there's korea if you tear apart pieces of wood? You don't stitch wood, right? I was very confused. And in fact, the Mishnah Brura does deal with this. The Mishnah Brura in Shin Yud Dalet, did I bring it here? No, the Mishnah Brura in Shin Yud Dalet Mem Aleph actually says that breaking wood into large pieces is only a derabana.
I'm saying.
I did bring it? Oh, much further down. Yeah, so I'm not ready for that yet, but I brought it there. He says, "Mevakeh etzim lachatichos gedolos." Right, uv d'chol megid chatichos ketanos. It's tochein. He may have been with machatech, but he doesn't believe that it's a korea issue. So I'm really confused by the Mishnah Brura's position. In other words, I'm very happy to accept the idea that korea is only for soft materials. What I don't understand is the Mishnah Brura saying that there is tofer if you glue pieces of wood together, and when you separate them, he's not willing to call it korea. I'm confused by that. But that's the general principle, is separating hard materials is not korea. There's also no korea if you separate soft materials from hard materials, because that's also not subject to tofer, as we discussed under tofer, quoting the Shmir Shabbos Gehilchasa at the time. We said that if you attach soft and hard materials together, right, it's in source mem, in the Shmir Shabbos Gehilchasa, there's no issue of tofer, and there's no issue of korea if you separate them either. That was his position. And I asked the question when we did tofer, and I asked the question again, so why is it usher to stick a poster to a wall or to remove it? I mean, yes, Mosif al-Habinyan you may end up with, but I'm really confused by that. But that's application number two for Korea. We have five total. Application number three is string. And I realize we're out of time. Okay, so can I just do this fast? We'll do it in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
The okay, string. I'll do it without the other sources. The when you're dealing with a single string, so the Gemara in Shabbos that we saw said you're allowed to cut the chosalo shel tamarim, the palm leaf baskets. And Rashi there said that what that means is that you cut the strings that are closing it, not that you tear apart the basket, but you cut the strings that are holding it together, unlike the Rambam. But that's the position of Rashi. And the Shulchan Aruch brings Rashi's approach, allowing you to cut strings even with a tool. Why is that? Why is it that I'm allowed to cut strings? So Rabbi Ribiat's position, which I brought you from page 828, it's in Source Mem Daled, is that Korea is only possible with materials that are sewn or glued when they are torn. By saying glued, he includes paper again. But if it's string, how do you repair a string? You tie a knot in it. So therefore, there's no Korea when you're dealing with string. What about food? So there is no issue of Korea for food. And the rationale for it, as Rabbi Ribiat brings in his Haaretz, I brought it in Source Mem Hei, is because the Tsuras Hamalacha, the form of cutting, is not relevant for food in general. And by the way, you can't stitch it. It's not durable. That's the whole point of food. So therefore, Korea is not relevant when you deal with food. מדברים עכשיו על קריאת אוכל, ואין בעיה בקריאת אוכל, כיוון שאין בעיה בתפירת אוכל, זאת אומרת, באוכל עצמו. יש בעיה בקריאת חוט שסביב האוכל, יש בעיה בתפירת החוט סביב האוכל. Yeah. No, except that it isn't for string, because there isn't Korea for string, because it's not tofer. The tofer that you do with string is when you join two materials together, not by tying a knot in a string.
Don't you sew the turkeys together or something?
That's what Yaron is asking about. But that's where you sew using a thread. You're not taking turkey and sewing turkey. You're sewing a thread around turkey.
Or to the turkey.
But it doesn't matter fundamentally. It's not, what we're saying is, it's not called, two different issues. One, stitching food by taking thread and putting it through food, that is tofer. If you join pieces of food together, that is tofer. And if you cut it, then potentially that's korea. Tearing apart food. I have a piece of chicken, and I want to tear the drumstick away from the rest of the meat. Right? That's not korea, because I can't stitch the chicken into the chicken. That's the idea. Last application within korea is skin. What about human skin? We said under tofer that korea and tofer do not apply to human skin, and the evidence for this is the Gemara in Shabbos when it talks about cutting your nails or cutting skin. We do have a gozes concern. We don't have a korea concern. Why not? Says Rabbi Ribiat, because stitching skin does not resemble what was done in the Mishkan. Okay. So therefore there's no tofer, and therefore there's no korea.
Surgical stitches.
So that's the question to Rosh Lamazaman. Why do you care about the stitches, right? Your problem with stitches there is that your stitches are the thread. But the question for Rosh Lamazaman is the butterfly one, where you just bring the ends together. There's no tofer by skin. That's the question. That's what everyone's trying to figure out in Nishmas Avram Shin Mem. Okay, mechatech. We don't have a pairing of tofer and mechatech. They're completely different models. So therefore, mechatech will apply, even if tofer does not apply. So therefore, in terms of joined materials versus single materials, we have no reason to distinguish whatsoever. Right? Between joined and soft. Also, unlike with korea, we don't distinguish between hard and soft materials. It doesn't make a difference. You can have mechatech with hard materials because I don't care about the fact that you don't stitch hard materials. So if I break the wood to make a toothpick, that's still mechatech. String, also, mechatech will apply to string because the fact that I don't stitch together a string doesn't mean anything as far as mechatech is concerned. However, like korea, mechatech does not apply to food. Even if you care about the dimensions, I'm cutting the cake to a certain size, that is still not mechatech, and I'll leave the Maram Sheikh to ask whether it should be. But we say not. The Rabbi Ribiat says the reason why not is because mechatech is part of the tanning process. And food does not get tanned. Beef jerky does, maybe. But generally speaking, food does not get tanned. But the usual approach is not what Rabbi Ribi had said. The usual approach is to quote the Rambam, who says there is no tikkun kli for animal fodder, right? We saw it already. And ditto for food. Why? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, because food is ready to use as it is. That's what I brought you in source Nun. The food is ready to use as it is. What about skin? So Rabbi Ribiyat is not sure if Mechatech should apply for human skin or nails. He isn't sure. You can't make the argument that we make for food, that the food is functional as it is, and therefore the skin is also functional as it is, because we have a concept of tikkun regarding a human body. Like if a person has a pimple and he makes the hole in the pimple, mapis morsa, there is the sense of mitaking. Tikkun gavra, you are fixing the body, so maybe mechatech should really be relevant for skin. If a person cuts the skin to a certain size, or cuts his fingernails to a certain dimension, maybe, in addition to gozes, there really should be an issue of mechatech. Rabbi Ribi leaves it as a tzarachiyun, and I thought that was an interesting point. So
with a big poster, so what if someone brings half a cow to the table?
Yeah.
This food's not really ready to eat the way it is. It's like the huge poster, you gotta cut it, no?
No, you could theoretically eat it as it is. Everyone could just dig in. Yeah, they wouldn't. They wouldn't need that. You're a vegetarian. You don't have a vote. But that's all right. That sums up, or hopefully, Korean Mechatech. What I still have to do, and I'll record, God willing, is all sorts of applications of this. So, God willing, that will be coming to you by email at some point in the next week.